This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
Stories of violent crime often make headlines and then fall away into the news cycle. But for survivors, those moments of trauma can last for a lifetime. Corrine Hess reports on how Frederick Hospital has spent the last decade working with patients to rebuild their lives after trauma.
Michelle Real was conscious throughout her attack.
He came back downstairs and he said, "I see you're still trying to hold on. Go on and die."
Real was in the basement using the washing machine when her boyfriend came up behind her and strangled her. He then slit her throat.
I could grab a pillow and die comfortably on the basement floor. I could run and perhaps get caught again as he was in the house. Or I could run and be safe.
She ran to a neighbor's house and was awake in the ambulance while paramedics prepped her about what would happen in Frederick's emergency room. For months, even after Real went back to work as a special education teacher, she couldn't hear the sound of sirens without having a panic attack.
I actually literally would stutter, my heart would beat fast, and this could be at any environment. I could be working in my classroom and hear a siren and just have to take deep breaths and remind myself.
Frederick therapists suggest she relive the event by touring an ambulance.
I think reliving the situation was very helpful, and I think that's how I was able to process as well as I have been able to.
Terry Darun Cassini is a clinical psychologist and medical director for Frederick's Trauma Psychology Program. Frederick was one of the first hospitals in the country that screens trauma patients for PTSD symptoms. The program started about 11 years ago, when clinicians realized patients didn't automatically begin healing when the surgeons finished with them.
They all share this experience where kind of out of the blue, unexpectedly, something very intense and sometimes life-threatening can happen to them. And sometimes there is distress that follows.
The man who tried to kill Real was charged with first-degree intentional homicide and sentenced to 43 years in prison. Real saw Darun Cassini weekly after her attack, and then monthly. The hospital still has her case open, in case she wants to start dating again. But she's not ready for that.
I always find excuses not to. Oh, they're really nice, but...
Real has put that part of her life on hold. She left Milwaukee to be closer to her dad in Appleton. Cleaning up her classroom on a recent afternoon, she says her three young children are thriving, and she's happy.
I am very fortunate that I still have a positive attitude, that I could overcome things, that I could forgive, but a lot of it was in therapy, talking through things, reliving things.
Frederick treats about 5,000 trauma patients a year. Darun Cassini's team sees about 40% of those patients. Darun Cassini says sometimes cases are even more complicated than Real's. Suspects aren't caught. Victims have to go home to unsafe situations.
Especially if you consider somebody who might have been shot in their neighborhood or in their home even, and then thinking about their own safety issues when they're returning home. And so there's another element that's involved in their recovery beyond purely the symptoms they're experiencing, but also restoring a sense of safety.
Reggie Moore heads the city's Office of Violence Prevention. He says violence does not only affect an individual who was harmed, but the entire community.
In many cases, violence can shake it to the core, the sense of safety and the sense of normalcy that a community could have. And under no circumstances should violence ever become the norm.
The idea is to treat violence as a public health problem, before it happens and after. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.